from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November the 27th, 1998. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Yes, Lord God, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? Praise God. He is a wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe that we need to know a little more about the resurrection? How many looking forward to resurrection? Well, it's already started, hasn't it? Within us, and it's going to work out. How many know that the word resurrection means a raising up? It means a rising up or cause to stand. And I want to go tonight to Philippians 3. We'll start there, the Lord willing, in Philippians. And as we turn there, I want to tell you six things or so here that I wrote down. Got my notes on one of my little booklets. And our last little booklet we put out back on the book table is on the man-child. And so we encourage you to get that. How many believe God's raising up a man-child? How many want to be part of those overcomers? Hallelujah. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. Let's go to, are we in Philippians? Philippians chapter 3. Are we there? Good. Praise the Lord. Let me say several things about the resurrection first. How many believe it's a resurrection of the living and a resurrection of the dead? It is the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Is that true? I don't want to be in the second one, I can tell you that. The two parts to the resurrection is of the living are this. Two parts of the living resurrection is first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. And then all others. First fruits, there are two parts. There are two parts to first fruits. Those that are in the heavenlies now and those that are here on the earth. How many believe God's going to bring us together? And then there's the inward resurrection, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute, while yet in the body. And then there's the outward resurrection, the physical resurrection. And how many know the sons of God will experience the resurrection first? And every man in his own order. Now, I can't preach all that in 5 minutes. But let's go to the Scriptures, Philippians 3. Look in verse 5. Paul speaking about himself. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that's touching the law of Pharisees. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of what? Come on. All things, and do count them but dung, that I may what? Win Christ. Now, let's stop just a minute, and I'll come back in just a second. We'll read some more there. Okay, how many know there's two steps to the resurrection, spiritually and physically? Is that right? And Paul talked about here, he was, of course, a teacher of the law, and he said he was blameless. We know what tribe he belonged to. That was Benjamin. Is that correct? So he knew his religion. He knew he had all his traditions, his nationality. He was a Pharisee. There was a lot of pride, a lot of persecution against the true church. Amen? A lot of exalting up and lifting up of man. A lot of fleshly things. He was circumcised. He had a lot of zeal. He was from the stock of Israel. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And, of course, he was a Pharisee. How many believe we've got some Pharisees today? Amen? And how many believe we're citizens of a heavenly country today? You know, even though we're Americans, how many know we're not American first? We're Christian first. Come on. Amen? We belong to another country. Is that right? Praise God. Now, look in verse. Well, he said, first of all, there was a loss, in verse 7, there was a loss for Christ. Those things which were gained, he said, I counted loss for Christ. What things? The things he just named right there in verse 5, 6, and so forth. And then in verse 8, he said, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss
of all things. Now, if you're going into the high calling, how many believe you're going to lose some things?
You're going to lose a lot of things, aren't you?
Amen.
But how many know we're going to gain if we win the prize? Come on, somebody say amen. We know there is this prize here. Paul talks about the high calling. And we know it's a holy calling and it's a high calling. Can you say amen? Now look down to verse. Look down now to verse 9. Down to verse 9. And what did he say here in verse 9? He said, "And be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already were perfect, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press." Let's read this together. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Praise God. How many's pressing tonight? If you're not pressing, something's pressing against you. Is that right? And if you're pressing, something's pressing against you. Come on. Amen. But he said that I may know him here in verse 10. And the power of what? The power of what? Of his resurrection. Amen. And what else did he say there in verse 10? And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Praise God. And so there's two words I want to deal with here for a minute. It's the word anastasis, the word for resurrection. And again, it means a rising up to cause to stand or raising up and or coming up. Then there's one other word that's used in verse 11. It's only used one time in the Bible. But you see it many times in Scripture. Let's read verse 11 again. Let's all read it. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." How many see something there? He said, "if." Now, Paul knew there's a resurrection out there, a general resurrection. But here he said, "if," in this verse, "by any means I might." That don't sound like a man of faith, does it? But how many know he was a man of faith? "Attain." Anybody want to attain to this resurrection? How many know there's some overcoming here? "That I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." How many believe that the fullness of Christ is coming into people what? Yet living in a body. I'm going to say that again. The fullness of Christ is going to come to an end time people, I said it that way, while living yet in a body. Anybody want that? Anybody believe that? And so when he said attain, it means to come to or arrive at something. Praise God. Now, Paul said, "I have not attained to that yet at that time." Isn't that right? How many know we haven't attained to it either? Come on now, amen? And so this ex anastasis resurrection, which is the resurrection within you and me, at this time, Paul had not come to that place. Praise God. But I tell you something, brethren, there is a rising up from death that must take place in our life. Can you say amen? And this word, ex anastasis, means to come out of or exit from death. Coming out of something. Coming out of death and rising up into life. Somebody say, "I want life." Hallelujah. And so it's the out resurrection. It's the early resurrection. Out from among the dead. Praise God. Not the physical resurrection. We're talking about the inward resurrection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many is hearing me now? Praise God. Now, this inward resurrection, or the ex anastasis resurrection, it must proceed before the physical resurrection. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Amen. So the inward has to come before the outward. Is that right? Those that are dead in Christ. How many believe that the dead in Christ are going to rise first? Now, that's in the resurrection out there, isn't it? But how many believe he's also waking some of us up out of our natural sleep? Isn't that right? And so he said, this is the prize of the high calling, but it must be attained too. Is that true? And it's the fullness of Christ coming within a people. Now, when's Christ's fullness coming? His fullness will come at midnight, in the darkest hour of this world, in tribulation. How many believe we're facing the tribulation in the church? Brother Golden talked about tribulations this morning. But I'm talking about the church is facing the great tribulation that most preachers say we're not going to be here. How many know that is a lie from the pit of hell? The church will go through, come on, tribulation. How many believe God's going to bring some through and on the other side? Anybody want to be in that crowd? Come on, somebody shout amen. Praise God. So this prize of the high calling has to be attained. This fullness of Christ coming in us. This resurrection power increasing within us. Hallelujah. Coming into the image and likeness of Jesus himself. Now look in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Praise God. Look at verse 27. Now, I know there's a lot we could go into in chapter 17 and so forth here, but look at verse 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father. Anybody want his glory tonight? With his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, we know he's going to come out there in the physical with his angels, but he'll not come out there, as Bill said today, until he comes in a people, right? And I can show you many scriptures on that. But look at the next verse, though. Here's where I want to come to. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of what? Come on. Death until, time word, they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, do you believe he's raising up a kingdom of priests? It's a kingdom of priests, but it's a kingdom of priests, isn't it? And he's coming into his kingdom. But how many, look at Luke 17. Luke 17, and look at verse 20. And here's what the scripture says. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with an outward show or observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Come on. It's within you. How many believe he's coming in his kingdom tonight? Into you. Come on, and into me. Isn't that right? Jesus is coming within us, hallelujah, as we submit to him. So there's got to be an explosion from within to without. He spoke that just recently to me. There's come an explosion from without to, within to without. Now look in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Praise God. I get excited when I talk about resurrection. It's life, isn't it? Verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. Where's he risen? Come on, help me. Upon thee. And for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen where? How many believe that they saw it on Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, those three? How many believe people's going to see it on you one of these days? You know why? Because there's so much glory that was in Jesus that came out on the outside. And God wants to bring us to a place. We have so much glory on the inside, it comes on the outside. Somebody say amen. I want it, don't you? Hallelujah. So there was an explosion. God's not going to zap you just on the outside to get in. He's going to zap you on the inside to get out. Come on, somebody say amen. How many know God's in the zapping business? You know, God started with our spirit, didn't he? And now he's working on the what? The soul. And then the body. Praise God. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 3. The change has got to be in the soul. What has changed into a caterpillar? A butterfly. A caterpillar has changed into a butterfly. Isn't that right? And you know what they tell me? That before the caterpillar is changed into a butterfly, he gets real thirsty and wants a lot of water. How many believe God's going to change us and is changing us? We're going to have to drink a lot of water. We're going to get this word in us. Isn't that right? How many believe that? As well as drinking the Holy Ghost. Now look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. You know these scriptures. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Lord is, there is something. There's liberty. There's freedom. Oh, hallelujah. But we all, you know, Paul was a Southerner. Okay. With open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory, come on, of the Lord are changed, transfigured, or transformed. Transformed into what? The same image. From glory, come on, help me. To glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that word beholding there in verse 18 means reflecting. And so we're coming into that image. And how many know it's a process, isn't it? Now, what part is being changed? What part of us is being changed now? It's our soul that's got to be changed. Is that right?
Thank God he's done something in my spirit. Now he's working on my mind. Isn't that right? Will, emotions, and desires. Now, our brother had a beautiful message last night on those four beasts, and I agree exactly what he taught. But they're also a type of the soul. How many know God's working on me? Come on. Is he? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And, but I tell you, I love that message. It was wonderful. Now, look in chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world has done something. Blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not, lest the light of the... What kind of gospel? Amen. Glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. By His Spirit and by His Word, or His anointed Word, He's going to bring us into that image, isn't He? And He's going to change the way I think, the way I feel. Come on. My desires and my volition, He's changing all of that as I submit to Him. Now, look in Matthew 25. We have a problem, though. Look in Matthew 25. How many of I say we? How many know we all have problems? Somebody says that's a bad report. No, it's not. It's truth. Come on, we all need some help, don't we? You know, right, brother? We need help. And in Matthew 25, how many believe there's a mixture in the kingdom? Not God Himself in us. Isn't that right? Come on, verse 1. Everybody read it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to what? Come on. 10 virgins which took their lamps went forth to meet the bridegroom. How many know the bridegroom is Jesus? Now notice, he said the kingdom is like this. Then in verse 2, he said 5 of them was wise and 5 were blockheads, right? That's what it means. Foolish. You know, brethren, we try to make it to midnight without oil. How many know we are blockheads? We're foolish. Is that true? And then he said, they that were foolish took their lamps, but didn't take any oil with them. Your lamp is your spirit. How many believe he fills our spirits with some oil? But look at this. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp, which is an extra supply. What's your vessel? It's your soul. Anybody want some more oil in your soul? Anybody want Christ to overshadow your mind, will, emotion, and desires for the time of darkness? And then in verse 5, but while the bridegroom tarried, they all did what? How many believe we're all waking up? Amen? We're all coming out of sleep, aren't we, brethren? And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, how many believe the Holy Ghost is going to bring this cry through a people? Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. That's the second time it says that. Now, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. There's a lot of things I won't get into here. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the Martin says are going out. Can we lose oil? Can we leak? How many know it's dangerous to leak oil? But the wise answered and said to them, now notice, lest there be not enough for us. And you, how many believe we're responsible to get some oil in our lamps ourselves and our vessels? But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy. Now I want to tell you, verse 10 is not a rapture in the physical. How many know God has a bride? She's going to go out as a bride in the bride chamber and come out as sons. Anybody want to be a son tonight? How many know there's a difference in the bride and son? Did you hear what I said? How many thank God for His bride? And verse 10 says something here. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. They that were ready. The bride's prepared herself, made herself ready. Went in with him to the marriage. Amen. How many know that marriage, that wedding feast is going on right now between you and Jesus? That intimacy right now is taking place. Is that right? Behold, I stand at the door. Come on. If any man open up, right? I will come into him and what? What's he going to do? Sup with him and he'll sup with me. The word sup is supper. We're talking about the marriage supper. By the way, I'm not talking about a big old table 1,500 miles long where you eat green beans, mashed potatoes, and steak. We're not talking about that. Come on. Robert's hungry. All right. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was what? Come on. Somebody's on the inside, somebody's on the...
outside. Somebody's going to try to get in. They can't get in at this point. Now, the door is not a physical door, is it? Look in Revelation 4. I was praying one night, and the Lord just quickened. Revelation 4. That's it, brother. Revelation 4. Hallelujah. Revelation 4. Look at verse 1. John said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in the heavenlies. Amen. In heaven. And the first voice. Let me thank God for the first voice. Which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. So the message comes. The revelation comes. We would say the warnings come. And he said, come up hither, and I will show you things that must be hereafter. You know, brethren, we need to hear the Holy Ghost tonight telling us, come up hither too. We're too low. Come on, we're too low. We've got to come up in the Spirit higher. We're on low ground. God wants to lift us up, you and me both. And so John was told, you've got to come up, John, to hear and see what I'm going to show you. Is that right? And the first thing he saw was a door in heaven. And the sons of God are going to be caught through that door in the Spirit to the heavenlies. Now look in Revelation 12:5. Here is that experience that I'm talking about. Revelation 12:5. Some of you are new here and you don't know. I'm going to tell you. It helps to know. Hey, man, I went to Bible college. Nobody taught me these things in Bible college. I had to be retaught. I mean, the Holy Ghost is our great teacher. Through His servants, too. Amen? And yet, to us individually. 12:5. No, what does it say? And she who? Church. Now, the bride. She brought forth somebody. Come on. A man-child who was to rule or shepherd what? How many know there's no nations in heaven? Is that right? Going to shepherd what? All, or rule all nations with a rod of iron. Mildred says that's a rod of love. And I also say it's a rod in the Spirit. It's not going to be a stick. It's going to be the rule in the Spirit. Isn't that right? And her child, thank you, Bill, her child was caught up where? Where was it caught up? To God, first of all, right? God's the Spirit, isn't He? They were caught up in the Spirit. God's the consuming fire. God is the Word. Come on. God is light. God is love. I mean, they're caught up in all that dimension of God. And to His throne, the place of rulership. Isn't that right? Place of government. And so they're caught up into that realm. That's the resurrection I'm talking about tonight. Now turn to Revelation 11, verse 3. Here's the power coming to the church. How many know there's a church within the church, if I can use it that way? Chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two martyrs. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother Golden touched it this morning in China and other places people have been martyred. There's been more people martyred this century than any century. But I believe it's going to come to America. I believe the time will come that you'll see people kill for their faith in America. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if it comes to that, how many know there's a people going to lay their life down as Jesus did willingly? And I will give power to my two martyrs, and they shall prophesy, come on, 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. They're in a flesh and blood body. But that fullness, I believe, has come into them at this point. Now, the tribulation's coming, right? And the fullness must come into people at that time. So when the tribulation breaks out, there's a people full of God. Anybody want to be full of God? Now, why? Look back to Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Better have your writing pencil. Matthew 24. Yeah. Look at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, how many know that? Those are powerful words. When you think of all in our lifetime that's happened even in this world. And yet Jesus said, it will be a time that the world has not known, nor shall ever be like that time, tribulation. Now look at verse 22. Except those days should be shortened, those days of tribulation, there should no flesh be saved. How many see that word? Flesh be saved. What does that mean? That means the devil would kill everybody. How many know it's not going to happen? How many know the Lord gave us the promise back in Genesis? He would never destroy all human race again. And how many know there's a people here called the elect in that verse? Now, he said the elect and the very elect here in chapter 24, but notice,
there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, the chosen of God, those days shall be what? Come on. Shorten. You know what he's saying in that verse, I believe? That the elect of God will stop total annihilation. By the power of God coming in them at this time, they will stop the total annihilation of humanity. I mean, no, that would be power. Can you say amen? Now, we know he started in our spirit. I said it a while ago. Now he's working on the soul and then, of course, the body. Now, I want to go to Jeremiah 31. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31. Now, God has been speaking to me so much lately in the last 6 months or a year about the Spirit and the Word, the Spirit and the Word, the Spirit and the Word. And he took me through scriptures, many scriptures. It worked in Jesus' life. How many know the Father and the Son worked together by the Holy Ghost? And you see that all during Jesus' ministry. You see it with the apostles, and you're going to see it at this end time. Because I teach the two witnesses are not two men, but it's the Spirit and the Word within a people. Hallelujah. How many believe we need the anointed Word within us, brethren? All of us. Now, Jeremiah 31:31. The Lord said this, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. That's what our brother was talking about last night. A new covenant with the house of Israel. Now, let's stop right there. How many believe that we're Israel tonight, too? In fact, let me tell you, there's only one Israel. There's only one Israel, regardless of how you see it. Amen? I mean, though, the middle partition, the wall has been broken down between Jew and Gentile. Isn't that right? Okay. But he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in there. That's your soul. That's your soul. Inward parts means soul. Write it right there in your Bible. That's what it means. He's going to put it in your soul and write it in their hearts. And will be good, and shall be God, to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now I want to go back just a minute to the five foolish and five wise. How many believe it's foolish to try to think we'll make it to midnight without that oil? We'll not make it. Now the problem is this. Many people have locked souls. They have locked God out. When God has come to them to obey, they've shut Him out. I mean, oh, that's dangerous in this hour. Is that right? Listen, God wants to restore our souls. Do you believe that? Our souls have been so fragmented, all of us. Our souls, our minds have went into many things. We've got to call back those parts of our soul. David cried out, Lord, restore my soul. Remember that? And as our souls are brought back, those parts that the devil has stolen from us, and God restores our minds, and we allow God to do the work within that soul, then when midnight comes, He can move right into you and me without any resistance. Did you hear what I said? But you put up blocks and barriers, how many know that stops Him? And that's why some are foolish. We must not lock Him out. Can you say amen? I'm talking about people who've been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, using gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's as far as it went. Is that right? How many know there's a realm even greater than the holy place? Come on. Oh, the holy of... Now, we can't get there without coming through the holy place. Isn't that right? God wants to bring us there, doesn't He? Anybody want to go to the Holy of Holies? Come on. Amen. Now, He says here, I'm going to put my laws, see, my commandments, in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Now, go to Hebrews. 8. Hallelujah. God wants to do it. Hebrews chapter 8. And look with me in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their what? Now back in the Old Testament it said inward parts. Here it said your mind. That's your soul, isn't it? And write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a... And then verse 11, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest, from the baby to the man child. Now look in chapter 10. Look in chapter 10, brethren, and look at verse 12. How many believe Jesus paid the total price? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, was that just for the Jews only? No, it's for everybody, wasn't it? sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his.
How many know the last enemy is going to be put down is death? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, where of the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. There it is again. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be what? Come on. Now look at the next verse. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, though through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. I tell you, that blood, the blood of Jesus, has redeemed us tonight. Amen? And he's writing his laws in our hearts and in our minds. Hallelujah. So, thank God, Christ comes in me and comes in you. Christ in us is the what? But how many know we don't stop there? Christ comes in us to take us into him. If I stop letting Christ come in me, it stops me from moving in him. If I'm open for him to come in me, then that's how much I can move into him. Can you hear that? Anybody want more of Jesus? Look in John 14. John 14. Look at verse 23. Here's where Jesus said something. Jesus answered and said to him, Judas, if a man love me, he will keep my words or my sayings or my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we, the Father and the Son, there's the double witness, Father and Son, will come unto him and make our abode, literally our mansion with him. Amen. How many know he wants to come in? Father and Son. When does he come in? If you love him and keep, right? Now, turn to Revelation 14. Here's the same thing right here. I don't have my Greek with me tonight. Doesn't matter. Most of us don't know it anyway. Revelation 14. I looked, and lo, a lamb. How many thank God for the lamb tonight? We're talking about sacrifice, aren't we? The lamb went to the cross and then to the Holy of Holies. He said, I saw this lamb. He stood on Mount Zion. Zion means the church militant and triumphant. What it means. And with him 144,000. Those aren't Jehovah's Witnesses. Come on. Amen. They're God's sons, aren't they? And that is not a literal number. No, it isn't. No way do I believe that. It's a symbolical number. In fact, it's more than a number. It's a nature. Now, listen to what he said. Having his Father's what? Name or nature written in their foreheads. Now, the Greek says the Father's name, all right, and it says, and his name, Jesus. You got the Father. Come on, you got the Son. You got the Son, you got the Father. Isn't that right? And so he is writing his name in our foreheads. Now let's go back to Revelation 3:10. I didn't know I was going to get in this tonight. It's all right. The Holy Ghost, that's all that matters. I don't have 3 points. I'm sorry. I don't preach that way. Everybody preaches different, don't they? Teaches different. Revelation 3:10. I like to depend on the Holy Ghost. Because, Revelation 3:12. I'm sorry, it's 12. It says, him that what? Now, how many know that sets some people apart from just church members? How many know the word overcomer means to get the victory over something? To conquer, to prevail. And how many know we're overcoming three things? The world, the flesh, and how many know we haven't fully conquered yet? We think we have, we're deceived. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. What do pillars do? They hold up the building, right? How many know there's some pressure involved? How many feelings of pressure lately in your life? And he shall go no more out. Now, notice what he said here. You talk about eternal security. Here it is for the overcomers, for those who truly overcome them. He'll go no more out of this temple, this body, this church. You know, there's some people in and out, up and down. Come on. Not steadfast, but that overcomer. He says they'll not go out anymore. Amen? How many believe he's steadfast? How many want to be steadfast in God? Amen. Notice what he says. And I will write upon him the name of my God. We know God's a spirit, isn't he? And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. That's the one that's coming down, not going up. Which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name, my new nature. Now that's Jesus, isn't it? Notice you got the Father, you got the city,
and you got Jesus. Triple sealing there, right? Let me see that. But he said that last part, I will write upon him my new name. Now, turn to Revelation 2:17.
Okay. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. I mean, a white is purity, holiness. It means dead white. And I've said this again, I want to say it again. I've said it before, I want to say it again. White in Revelation, it means purity, okay? There's nothing negative about the word white in Revelation. And I want to tell you something. I don't believe the white horse is Antichrist. It is Christ. It is the gospel of Christ going forth to end time people. The white horse, you interpret scripture with scripture, not what we think. And the white horse rider in Revelation 19 is Jesus and his army, his overcomers. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you this white horse rider in chapter 6 that goes forth, it says, well, he said, somebody said, well, he's got a bow and no arrow. The bow in Habakkuk said it's the word. It is an overcoming people going forth first with the word of God, then we'll follow. Come on. War, famine, and death and those things. How many know Jesus said to the devil, get behind me?
Yes.
Literally, follow behind me. When God opens the seal, how many know he lets the devil move? Come on, don't shut me down now. When God blows the trumpet, he's going to let the devil blow a trumpet. Is that right? When God moves, he's allowing the enemy to move. But how many of you got more power to deal with him? David was anointed how many times? 3 times. He killed a bear, he killed a lion, didn't he? Huh? And he killed a giant. Then he was anointed a second time over Judah. 7 or 7.5 years, how long it was. And then the third anointing, I mean, all the Philistines came at him. But that was anointing. First was anointing of promise, the anointing of praise, and then the anointing of power. All of them come at him. But I want to tell you, God told him how to defeat them. When you go higher than anointing, you got more enemies. You want to go up in God tonight, you expect more enemies. You're going to have more warfare. So don't boo-hoo, as our brother said today. You know, boogie. I like that. So we're going to boo-hoo or boogie. All right. Now, let's see. Look at verse 17 now. What did he say here in this verse? He said, I'm going to give him that white stone, and in the stone a new nature, right? Written. Which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. How many know that you know when your nature's changed? A lot of people out in the world may look at you and say, I don't see any change in that person. How many know you know something happens in here? Now, Jesus said, remember what he said in verse 12, 3:12. He said, I'm going to give you my new name. Now turn to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Anybody want to open heaven tonight? And behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, notice, he's going to judge and make war. How many believe the warrior's in us tonight? His name's Jesus. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. You know why? Because the overcomers are going to throw their crowns at his feet and say, Lord, you're worthy. There's a message in that. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. That's what he said in chapter 3. But look at verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called something. How many believe he's sealing us, not only with his Spirit, but with his Word? He's putting his Word in us, isn't he? Look in 2 Corinthians 3. Let's see it. 2 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. And verse 2. Paul said, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. God wants us to become the Word. They may take the Bible someday. How many know we need to become a walking Bible? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Get it in you. Study it. Drink it. Come on. And let God put it in you. Can you say amen? Praise God. So, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in us. Amen. Now, so back to the resurrection in Philippians. We haven't really left it because that work's still going on in the soul. That's sealing. Isn't that right?
Yes.
That's the part that's got to be sealed. Let me give you one more scripture. Turn back to Revelation 9. Revelation 9. I was never taught any on the ceiling before. I come in these great truths about 1970. Never heard anything about the ceiling. But I'm telling you, God's ceiling of people. Do you believe it?
Yes, it is.
Revelation 9. In Revelation 9, how many of the pits being open? Out of the pits coming these locusts upon the earth, like scorpions. And verse 4, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, the green or any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. I mean, you know, when judgments come and those demons are let loose out of the pit, we better have the seal of God.
Yes, sir.
God's sealing us. You can read that in Ezekiel 9. Before the judgment comes, God seals a people. Isn't that right? Before the judgment. How many know Noah, the ark was sealed right before the judgment? Is that true? It's true. Now look in Revelation 7. And before you read 7:1, read 6:17. For the great day of his wrath has come, who shall be able to stand? Now God has not appointed the church to wrath. Is that true? How many believe God will protect us from wrath? Amen, as we have the armor of God upon us. Isn't that right? Chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels. Four is the number of the world, creation, isn't it?
Yes.
Standing on the four corners of the earth. And I believe there's four natural corners of the earth, but I also believe there's four corners of our soul, our mind, will, emotions, and our desires. Man has the capability to destroy the whole world tonight. Is that true?
Yes.
But I'm telling you, God's going to hold back the winds of destruction until he seals the people. And it says, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, natural earth. But how many know this is earth also?
Yes,
the sea is humanity as well as the natural sea. Nor on any tree. That's natural trees, but we're trees of righteousness, aren't we?
Yes.
The planting of the Lord that he might be glorified. Verse 2. And I saw another angel. Or if you saw four and another, how many is that?
Five.
Hey, I went to school too. It's only five, right? Amen. Know how to add. This is the fifth angel. What's five number of? Not only grace, but what else? Come on. It's a ministry, isn't it? How many believe God's got a ministry coming forward with a message? Or there's a man with a message that's going to be on the throne with Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And he's given forth that message. What does it say? Look at this. I saw another angel ascending from the east. Notice, from the east, coming from light and bringing light, having the seal of the living God, bringing life. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we. How many see the word we? And how many know angels in Revelation can also refer to ministries? Apostles and prophets and others. In fact, many people miss that. Sure, he has his angelic angels that he created, but many angels are ministries. And so he said in this verse, till we have sealed the servants, the bond servants, the love slaves, even unto death, into their foreheads. So God is sealing of people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, going back to this resurrection, this inward resurrection first, because I'm just touching that tonight. I want you to hear this. It will be a resurrection of the generals, not the privates. And I'm not excluding anybody from anything. How many believe there's going to be some generals come forth in God? I mean, the main general is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? And this is God's armies. God's army. Hallelujah. His fullness coming into people, yet in a flesh and blood body. Amplified said it's a moral and spiritual resurrection while yet in the body.
Yes.
I want that, don't you? God's anointed ones. Hallelujah. This is truly the transfiguration that Jesus had.
Yes.
That the overcomers will have first. How many believe that? The metamorphosis. Amen? Being changed into that butterfly. Hallelujah. And so we know that the Lord was changed and we shall be changed as well. So there's so much glory in Jesus that burst on the outside. And God wants that glory and that power and that anointing, that explosion, that radiation, to not only come in us, but to burst out of us to humanity. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. How many know Christ coming in us will do something also? It will kill your flesh and my flesh. Amen? If you cry out to know him, how many know he's going to kill your flesh? You don't have, you know, I used to be afraid to pray that second part, you know, about the fellowship of his sufferings. But I'd pray that I may know him. Well, how many know that ain't going to get you off the hook? Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you know what Jesus did? He went down from the mountain, didn't he? Cast the demon out of those that couldn't, although they had the power but because of unbelief. And then went and laid his life down, didn't he? Amen? So, anybody want more oil? Well, let me show you one other ingredient with that you need. Look in Luke 12 or 11. Look in Luke 11. I think it's 11 I want. No, that's more. Yeah. Look in Luke 11. And I want to come to verse... look at verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? How many believe Jesus is our friend tonight? And shall go to him when? When are you going to go to this friend? I mean, midnight's coming. It's coming on America, too. And say to him, friend, look at the word, second word is capitalized. Lend me 3 loaves. Spirit, soul, body. Passover, come on. Pentecost, tabernacles. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within, how many see that word? Or on the inside, shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now, what happened in Matthew 25? It was shut, wasn't it? And my children are in bed with me. How many believe that's rest? And that's an intimacy with Jesus. Those on the inside of the door will have an intimacy with Jesus. Are you hearing me? But I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend. He is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Well, how many will give him bread? The door's got to swing back open.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? So, brethren, midnight's coming. You've got to have the oil and you've got to have the bread, the word and the spirit. It's what's going to keep you and keep me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, go to Matthew 13. I'm going to show you we must have that same experience Jesus had. The transfiguration. Matthew 13:37. And I long for that, don't you? Let's see in verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The fields, the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. The word children there means sons. Sons of the kingdom, sons of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels, or the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, his messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. I want you to notice that. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now look at verse 43. Here is the transfiguration. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Did Jesus' face shine like the sun?
Yes.
Notice, in the kingdom of their Father who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God's taking us to the transfiguration if we can hear it tonight. Amen? I believe that. Do you believe it?
Yes, amen.
How many believe he's going to come suddenly to that temple?
Glory.
Now listen to this. The sons of God, the overcomers, will start the physical resurrection because they've experienced the fullness of that inward resurrection first. Did you hear me? See, we want to bunch everybody up in the resurrection. It ain't going to be that way. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. It ain't going to be that way, Hank. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Now, thank God for the resurrection. In verse 20, it says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become what? What's he become? Come on. First fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's by Adam, by man, that's Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so, next two words, in Christ. How many want to be in Christ?
Yes.
Shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, his own rank. That's a military word. The word order means rank.
Now, I can't tell you what rank you're in. How many know everybody's in different ranks? God knows, doesn't he? That's for the Lord to know and decide. But here's the only the resurrection. Christ. How many know Christ? Jesus is our head tonight, first of all.
Amen.
You got a head here. His name is Christ, but there's also a body called Christ.
Yes.
Is there?
Yes.
He said here, the order is Christ. Read it with me. The first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. How many see that? Christ, the first fruits. Now, turn back to Revelation 14. Hallelujah. In verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. How many of those women in this group? We're not talking about the natural women. I'm like Sister Coffee. Women have been put down today. Come on. Pitiful. But how many know God's not looking at your sex, your gender, whether you be male or female? Is that right? Because in this group is both men and women. Isn't that right? And they're really the overcomers. But he said they were not defiled with women. The Jezebel, harlot churches. I like to call them the Antichrist churches because that's what they are. Now look at this. For they are virgins, wise virgins that we talked about. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Where'd he go? He went to the cross first. And then he went to the Holy of Holies. Anybody want to go to the Holy of Holies? You're going to bear a cross. And you're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. You're going to be a son. Can you say amen? These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. And yet there's women in it. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. First fruits means that which comes to fruition first or matures first. And so God has his mature ones that's growing up tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, brethren, let me say it this way. Again, the world will see Jesus, but they'll see Jesus in a people. And the same ministry Jesus had will be in this army, these overcomers. He'll transport this world, this company worldwide.
Yes.
Isn't that going to be something?
Amen.
How would you like to go to Iran and preach? Or over in Saudi Arabia? Come on. How many know God is going to transport his people as he did Philip of old throughout this world? And the miraculous will be the order of the day. The dead shall be raised. Come on, amen. The miraculous, the power of God will be present. Whether they like it or don't like it. God has a people in all those nations, doesn't he?
Yes,
sir. I mean, he has a remnant in every nation.
Amen.
Right here in America. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And so, this bride, I want to say it this way. This bride relationship, our intimacy, our being acquainted with Jesus, will cause a people to be a partaker of this early resurrection, or that fullness of Christ coming within us first, before the physical. Okay? Hallelujah. How many's never heard this before? Raise your hands. Praise God. Well, good. Amen. Our prayer should be, Lord, I'd like to experience your transfiguration. Amen? And so that experience, that resurrection power must come within our soul now, because our spirit has been changed. Amen? How many know that your soul is going to be, if you allow God to work, it's going to be exactly what's in your spirit. What God has worked in your spirit, he wants to put that in your soul. How would you like to have a resurrected body but with the same old mind? It ain't going to work. Is that right? That's right. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, how many know he's not going to suddenly change your soul overnight? It's a process, isn't it? The fruit has to grow. Isn't that true? That nature has to grow within us. And God works in us, and yet we must allow God to work it even through us. Walk it out is what I'm trying to say. We've got to take the bitter with the sweet. Is that true? I mean, old John ate the book and it was sweet, but then it became bitter. And at the end of the age, you've got to take the bitter with the sweet. Because not everything's going to be rosy for you if you're going to be a son. Is that right? Praise God. So that soul change
has got to come in because of what God's already done in my spirit by His grace and by His glory. Hallelujah. So, by the grace of God, as we attain to the exanastasis resurrection, or that power within our spirit and our soul, then we'll be candidates for the second phase, which is the physical resurrection or an outworking of the resurrection power even in the body after the inward part has taken place. I'm looking forward to both. How about you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it's not automatic, is it? First is justification. Come on. Sanctification. Glorification. Said another way. How many of those? Visitation. There is manifestation. And there's habitation. God's inhabited us because He wants His rest in Zion. Amen, according to the Scripture. Praise God. And so most Christians know nothing about if or if I can attain or might by any means, you see, come to that resurrection. But I'm telling you, it has to happen to a people that's hungry and thirsty for Him. We've got a hunger for Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise God. What does that mean then? That means I got to die. And you will die. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ is going to live in me, right? Crucified with Christ, baptized into His death, being made conformable to that death. The old man has to die. Amen. We've got to take up that cross daily. Amen.
Amen.
Say it this way. My old man is becoming dead as Jesus was hanging on the cross, crucified.
Yes.
I mean, no, that was reality.
Glory.
It's going to be reality in your life and my life, too.
Yes.
And so the church mentally says this. I don't need any suffering. I don't have to die. Jesus did it all for me. I don't have to go through anything. And that's a lie. Amen? But how many are praying tonight and asking God for His sufferings? Or God to come in and just kill us? Our flesh. Not too many. Should our prayer be, "Oh Lord, kill me"? Well, the time you get through it will be. Because that's what He's going to do. Is that true? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how many know God wants something? He wants us to saturate ourselves on the Word of God. He wants us to have a strong prayer life and praise and worship life. He wants us to learn warfare. Sister Coffey taught this afternoon. I mean, know that you've got to talk to the devil, talk to the demon power to tell him, get out of your life. Come on, kick him out. Isn't that right? Amen. Break all soul ties. Call back that fragmented part. As I said a while ago, you got to cry for purification, purging. And again, no locked souls. Don't block God out. And God will come in and overshadow you. Amen. At midnight and fill you with His fullness. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so it's a process. It's going to take place, but it's a process. I can't turn my page. But it's a process. Hallelujah. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to finish tomorrow morning. We're going to deal with a physical resurrection tomorrow. But that can't come until this right here. How many know we need some changes within? All right. I'm going to stop right there. Who's got a question on what I thought tonight? Not some other, you know, out in left field, right field, or center field. But anybody got a question? So the cough is over here and you answer every one of them. Who's got a question? Come on, somebody's got one. Something we said tonight you didn't understand. You understand everything I said, right? Okay, sister. Oh, did you get your hand up? Okay. Ellen, did you get your hand up? Praise God. I'll wait just a second. The very thing you're thinking, the guy next to you wants to ask the same question. Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem to me is the bride. Spiritually. See, there's Israel, right? Just take the natural first. Israel. Within Israel is Jerusalem. And yet in Jerusalem, Zion. So we know there's the outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Okay? There's the believers in the outer court. There's the bride realm. And then the sons will be the overcomers, the Zion people. Okay? And I'd like to be a son. How about you? We're a part of all of that, far as we go. We're part of the bride and even the outer court, but I want to attain to sonship, don't you? In the Lord. The son has to come in us, doesn't he? The overcomer has to come in me and you. Amen? Somebody else? Sister Mildred.
Will the bride's body live?
Yes. I believe the bride's body will live, yes. I believe most of them. It seems to me most of them will. They'll be protected. In Revelation 12, God will protect. Now, let me say it two ways. In Revelation 12, God takes the bride into the wilderness to be tested, right?
Yes.
And how many know the man child will be feeding, nourishing her in the time of testing, which is worldwide.
Yes.
But in Revelation 21, let me go a little further. How many know there is the city, which is the bride, the Lamb's wife? Our brother preached that last night. But also connected with that city is something else. What else is around that city? A wall. The wall is the sons of God that protect the bride.
Yes, amen.
What's a wall for? To keep enemies out, right?
Yes, sir.
It's protection. And so God will protect the bride. He loves that bride. Hallelujah. Somebody else. We're not talking about natural walls here, brother. Well, it's in the spirit. It has to be in the spirit. Because if you see the man-child in chapter 12, verse 5, to the throne, Revelation 11, 3 is the same people. Power comes in, but they're in a flesh and blood body because it said they're in sackcloth. And then they're the 144,000. They're all three the same people. They're all the same sons of God overcomers. John just saw different pictures. And so it is the power of God coming at the beginning of the tribulation to take not only for them, but also to protect the woman and do the works God told them to do. Do the works of Jesus again. Somebody back there in the back. Oh, I thought Brother Golden had his hand. Somebody else? We'll deal with that tomorrow. You're right. That's the way I teach it anyway. Somebody else. I'm telling you, somebody's going to die to walk into life. Some's going to walk into life and not. Some's going to live and not die. But there's some going to walk into death, through death, and into life. I mean, that's happening right now to us, spiritually. But I'm talking about there's a people going to lay their life down for the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, may the Lord bless you. Let's stand. Amen? Let's give the Lord a good hand tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. It is true to, again, Lord, it's a lamp and a light to our feet and our pathway. We thank you for resurrection power that's within us, Lord. And we thank you that even that which is on the outside is coming as well. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We honor your sweet name, Lord. We honor you. We love you, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you that you know the rank every one of us are in, the order we're in, and you're bringing forth your people. And I pray for your people in this meeting right here, everyone in this meeting. I pray for them tonight, Lord, that we'll all attain to our God in that position and place in God. Lord, let we take away all the hindrances, all the strongholds, all those things that would hinder us, Father. We just bind them. And, Father, give us an open heart. Just open us up and come in, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your power, your presence, your anointing. And, Lord, forgive us for every sin, every iniquity, every transgression, everything in us that's not like Christ, Father. We know you'll have to root it out and take it out. And we thank you ahead of time for setting us free, Father God. We bless your wonderful name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.